Are you alive?
Amen.
Would you stand with me? I'd like to keep the screen down, Sister LaFournier. We have some scripture I'd like to show throughout the message. What would you think about a shepherd that didn't protect his sheep? You know, any old thing comes into the flock and grabs what he wants and takes off. You know, I would think that that'd be a hireling, didn't care for the sheep. Well, this is one of those messages that is all about protection. And so if you will turn to Proverbs, the 28th chapter. Proverbs chapter 28, starting in verse number 13. It says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesses and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief." So what God is saying is, you know what, we're going to have problems, we're going to stumble, but the best thing we can do is confess it before God, and then God has mercy, and then God allows us to prosper, and we just can't harden our hearts. And it's so easy for us to do that. And then if you go to Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter, Deuteronomy 11 and verse number 26. "Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which ye have not known." Now, in this day and age, we don't worship other gods or idols, but there are so many other things that we can put before God. And so what this good pastor Moses is saying, he's saying, hey, there's a blessing and a curse, and they're in front of you. What do you want? All you have to do is be obedient to God's word, and you'll find that there's going to always be a blessing. Amen. I don't want to prolong this, but if you go to Galatians, the 3rd chapter, Galatians chapter 3, verse number 1. "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you?" And then Romans 2, verse number 6. "Who will render to every man according to his deeds? To them who by patience, continuance in well-doing, seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jews first, and also the Gentiles, by glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jews first, and also to the Gentiles. For there is no respect of persons with God." So God throughout the Bible is saying, do right, here you go. Do wrong, life is going to be frustrating. There's going to be situations in your life that, just will not bring you peace. Lord, we ask your blessing, your touch, your anointing upon your word this evening. that you would allow it to go forth unhindered. Touch every individual here, God. It's all in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. There are always actions and reactions to the Word of God. I've said in my Bible study over the years, it'll always be successful. It'll always do something. My word will not return unto me void. Blessings to the obedience and consequences for the disobedience. And we are allowed to make that choice, every one of us. The enemy wants to cloud the issues or put us in a situation ethics. You know, we can always say, well, because of my situation, I cannot. God, you understand. I'd like to, but I can't because of circumstances. It's just not true. To justify our disobedience to the Word and His authority in the church, and that's why God has over and over warned us to be aware of deceivers or those who come and say, well, you know, that used to be true, but it's not any longer. I will not have a discussion with people concerning issues unless we agree that we're going to use this book as a bottom line. Because my opinion, your opinion, really doesn't matter. Opinions change, situations and ethics change, but the Word of God will stand forever. If you'll turn to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Chapter 5 and verse number 6. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. So let no man deceive you with vain words, empty words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. So, you know, God's saying, I don't care how slick they are. I don't care what they say is going to be good for you. You will receive the consequences because you listened to them rather than stood on the Word of God. Sometimes it's not easy to stand on the Word of God, but, you know, there's a blessing for you as a result. Amen. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, very familiar scripture for most of us. 2 Timothy 3, verse number 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. We're living in those days. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truths breakers, false accusers, incontinent or immoral, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. So God is saying, in the end time, there are going to be people who will tell you this is okay, and you know, they'll be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness, but deny the power of God. Have you ever been to a place where you have been deceived or duped? Someone has told you a story, but you later found out it was a lie. They made something so convincing that you believed a lie. They sounded sincere, said all of the right words, and so we bought it, and we became a victim of that lie. You know, the best lies have a little bit of truth woven into them. You know, and you don't see the lie. The devil wants to deceive you. A person who functions as the tool of another person's power to deceive an unwary person, and it's going to happen to us more and more as we see these last days happen. People who have given up standards, Christian principles, and now want you to buy into their lies so they feel better. Isn't it amazing those who have backslidden try to convert us? But it inevitably happens because they want to feel good about themselves. I am now free. We don't have to do this and we don't have to do that. And God warns us. God uses the phrase the last days many times in the scripture. In fact, we hear it preached so much that we can become oblivious to it. But most assuredly, we are in those last days. There are exciting times for the church with the greatest of miracles, greatest revival, greatest revelation in these last times. And we are more privileged, I believe, than any other generation that has lived after Pentecost than right now, because in the end times, there's going to be a great revival. These latter rains are going to be great. But with that, the greatest of deception will come, because the enemy of your soul knows that if he could just somehow deceive you a little bit to change a little bit. Paul said that in the last days, perilous times shall come. Not because of persecution by the government or non-believers, but because of widespread deception within the church. I said it at a pastor's installation a couple of weeks ago. I said, there are so many flavors of Pentecost today that we're not seeing the miracles and the signs and the wonders. And then all of a sudden we're frustrated and we're thinking, well, God just doesn't do that anymore. It's because we have such a variance of beliefs within our own organization and it's tolerated. Listen, deception is a very scary thing. A person who is deceived believes with all of their heart that they're right. I've talked to backsliders and they've said, we're right, I know it's true. Well, you can say it all you want, but does it line up with this? Gather yourselves all the more together as you see the day approaching. When in reality, they are dead wrong, and nothing I can say or you can say can change their mind because they bought into a lie. Jesus repeatedly warned against deception in the Gospels. When his disciples asked about his return, the first words out of his mouth when describing our last days was in Matthew 24 and 4, take heed that no one deceive you. It is our scariest part of being a part of the end times that are going to be those who will want to deceive us and lull us to sleep, and well, these things aren't important anymore. Now, the only way people can be deceived is by disregarding the Word of God. If we can make this null effect, if we can say, well, he no longer requires us based on the Word of God, whether by hearing it preached, reading it, or somehow seeing it as non-effective. James 1 and 22 says, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. I know this happens all the time. The word is preached, and someone thinks it's for the person sitting next to them and not for themselves, you know. If a person comes to church and hears the preaching of the word and then decides that it was for somebody else in the pew next to him and will not be a doer of the word, well, then they are deceiving themselves and deception enters into their heart and their minds. What message will be for you? You know? I mean, which one is it? Is it the third Sunday of every month that message is for you? Or do you have that mindset like, God, speak to me. If there's something that I need to do, let the preacher preach the word. And this person now lives under the opinion that they are all right when they are in error. Listen, where there is not truth and true submission to God's authority, the door is open to great deception. So if you can pick and choose, like you do at a grocery store, which part of this message are you going to agree with? Which part of this word do you think is really important to you? Then you are really open to all kinds of deception in your life. And then, instead of a blessing, there's a curse. Why will deception run so rampant in these last days? Because our society and even the church will not want to come under authority. This whole world, especially this country, is in a place where we do not want to respect authority. Every time I open up the internet to get some kind of news, it's putting down the authority of this country. And there are consequences for that. If we want to live under the blessing of God and the peace of God, then we have to lift up the hands of authority. If we don't, we're going to have chaos. I will not be restricted by the word of God or the preaching, thus opening the door for deception. That's exactly what the enemy is looking for, is somebody who is disgruntled. If you cannot come under the authority of the man of God, then all of a sudden there is a wide open door for deceivers to come in and deception to rest at your feet. If we don't develop a love for the truth to obey it, then we will be deceived. Turn to 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, please. Starting in verse number 3, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, we can get to the place where authority who stand in pulpit can say that's not important anymore, taking the position away from God and saying, I'm more important, I can tell you what to do. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things, and now ye know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. In other words, the only reason the Antichrist has not come on the scene is because the church is here. As soon as we're raptured, the Antichrist will be revealed. Verse number 8, and then shall that wicked, be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So God said that in the end time, if you don't have a love for this truth, you will be deceived. We come into the church, we grab a hold of this truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And it is a protection against the deceivers. Where is that in the book, by the way? You're saying I have more liberty. Where is that in the book? I've mentioned many times that I met a pastor from Houston, Texas, in Cabo, and I told him, you know, we need to be a watchman on the wall, like it says in Ezekiel 33, to make a clear sound. And God said to him weeks before the same thing. And he said, God, send someone to me to confirm this. And what it all comes down to is we must love the Word of God more than we love anything else in our lives. We cannot compromise. We cannot have situation ethics. We don't weigh which would be beneficial to us because we're not smart enough to understand that. Like Moses said, you have a blessing and a curse. Which one do you want? Obedience or disobedience? It said in 2 Thessalonians 2:7-4, the mystery or the secret of lawlessness does already work. If it was already working 2,000 years ago, what's happening today? The power of Satan is a subtle lawlessness that will prevail in the end times. And Satan knows that it opens the door to deception. People under authority can never be deceived. We have all come to those crossroads where there's something that comes across this pulpit that maybe irritates this flesh, and we then have to make a decision. Are we going to submit to that? Are we going to receive it? Or are we going to reject it? But if you are under authority, you never have to worry about deception whatsoever. We've all come to those crossroads. I've been there. And it's been so tempting to come against the authority thinking, but God talks to me, all right? But he will never, ever anoint or bless those who come against authority. Satan is the master of deception. He leads a third of the angels out of heaven in rebellion. I'm talking about millions of angels he deceived. Now, if he can do that in heaven in a perfect environment, how much more in this world where everything isn't perfect, using the same tactics that he used back then? Would you turn to Matthew 24? And verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect, or those who are in authority. If there was ever a bullseye on anybody in this church, it's on me. Because if I go down, there's no one to watch over the flock to present truth over and over again. And then 2 Corinthians 11 chapter. And verse number 3. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. You know, there are so many people who have new revelation, you know, but this is so simple. Repent, be baptized in Jesus' name for the washing away of our sins. Be filled with the resurrecting power of the Lord Jesus Christ, and then conform to the Word, and there is blessing after blessing after blessing. And then we're going to see those great signs and wonders because we've conformed to the Word of God. Now, the safest people in the church are those who have a high regard for the Word and for those who preach it. If we lose respect for the gatekeeper, we then open the gate for deception. Isaiah 66, verse number 1, thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Now, I know we're talking about the Old Testament and the temple, but really what it is saying is, where are my people who have built something for me to rest in? For all those things hath mine hand made, and all those things have been, saith the Lord, but to this man I will look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word. I have such great respect for the word of God. Today we need to revive something that says, I have such respect for the word of God. It's not just, here's an option for you. The one who trembles at his word and will not just consider it, but will actually respond to it. Now, here's what Satan did to deceive Eve. He questioned God's motive for her well-being. Genesis 3 and 1 says, yea, hath God said, or here's the question, you know, really, does God expect you to do all of this? Same deal, you see. Ye shall not eat of every tree in the garden. Wanting Eve to question God's goodness and integrity, Satan ignores God's generosity and pointed to his deception, you see, implying something good for her was being withheld. And that's what happens to our young people a lot of times. Raised in the church, and somebody is saying, oh, you are really missing out. That's what happens to us old people, and you are really missing out. You know? No. We're not missing out on anything. Let's start counting the blessings of God in our life rather than what we don't have. Oh, don't list all of the goodness of God that was there. The perfect environment. No cares, no work, no sickness, no death. Amen. Yeah, but you can't eat of that tree, you know? And that's what happens in our lives. God has laid out such a perfect life for us, all of the benefits he said he would do for us, and yet there's a deceiver who says, well, look, you're missing out. Let's focus on just the thing that we can't have, causing God to look like a taker rather than a giver. He doesn't take anything away from us except those things that hurt us and destroy our bodies. Right. Suddenly, Eve is wondering about God's reasoning for limiting access to one lousy thing in their life. And I'm telling you, that happens to us. We could have this one weakness within our life, and we're saying, God, why can't I have that? When God said, are you kidding? Look what I have given you. Instead of being thankful for all of the others. And in order to get Eve to eat, Satan had to discredit the word of God. That's what's happening in this day. Discrediting the word of God. Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day that ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You know, playing up to pride. That's what Satan did to Jesus. You see, if you worship me, see all of this? You can have it. It's in my power. I can give this to you. Get thee behind me. A little truth mixed with a lie, because Adam and Eve no longer trembled at God's word. Thank God we stand for the reading of the word in this place. Thank God we have people who will go way out of their way in order to teach the word of God to others. Flesh now dominates where spirit ruled, when we don't tremble at the word of God. And the Lord of death now had access to their lives and to this world. If we get to the place where the word doesn't control our lives anymore, then we will be easy access to deception and its control over us. Before their disobedience to the word of God, there was no hatred, anger, strife, gossip, bitterness, sexual perversion, drug abuse, drunkenness, murders, thefts. None of that was there, except they opened the door just a little bit. Amen. Amen. One act of insubordination marked the beginning of the secret power of lawlessness. Would you turn to James, the first chapter? James chapter 1 and verse number 12. It says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life which the Lord hath promised to him, to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." We need to regard the word of God and settle it in our heart that there is nothing good outside the realm of God's word. Stay away from me. Have you considered, you know, that's, have you thought, you know, that these things aren't issues any longer because of the way our society is? No, I haven't. It may appear good, but if it doesn't line up with the word of God, reject it, reject it, reject it. Make no mistake, there is nothing good in it for us, no matter how good it looks, it tastes, it feels, it sounds, or how rich and successful it'll make you. If it's not from God, it will eventually lead you down a path of intense sorrow and regret. And I don't want to open a door to any kind of deception whatsoever. But Pastor, others have gone that way and they seem to be blessed. You know why? Because that's God's mercy. Long-suffering. I wonder over the years how many people I have counseled from the Word of God and they considered what I said, but then went on to choose their own will over God's will. They thought they would lose out of some kind of good thing in their life. Parents, I don't care if you've raised your kids in the church. They are not losing out because of other kids in their school or on the playground or neighbors. I'm telling you, I've seen more families backslide when their kids get to be teenagers and insist, "I should be able to do this or I should be able to do that." And we're thinking, oh, the poor kids, they're losing out. They are not losing out on anything except the blessings of God. Hallelujah. What's more important than our kids? Amen. Keep the doors shut. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. They thought that they would lose out on some good thing, or why would God keep this thing from them, not thinking of all of the good things that God has already given us? Part of the reason for the forbidden tree in the garden was to see how much Adam and Eve loved the commandments of God. And every one of us are tested from time to time. We come to those crossroads. We know in our own spirit, this probably isn't a good thing, but let's see, you know? You know, it's a saint who's been in the church for some time, and they go out, and somebody says, I have a drink anyway. You know, I mean, one drink couldn't, you know? And so they do, and God doesn't strike them dead in a restaurant. Isn't that nice? And then they come to the realization, well, God didn't strike me dead, so obviously maybe I'm not the temple of God that, you know. You can't start to rationalize when it comes to the mercy of God, and God loves us so much, he wants us to come to repentance. He wants to exercise mercy in our lives, and then we somehow look at that as, he doesn't mean what he said. And we all come to that place of testing. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Amen. Yes, God can and will redeem us from misjudgments, but David paid a great price for taking Bathsheba. The sword never left his house. Three sons had to die. In complete contrast to the disobedience to the word of God by the first Adam, the second Adam, Jesus, submitted to every word that was written. Jesus is truth in action. He said, there is nothing that Satan can attach himself to. And one of our main goals should be to keep our life to a point where there isn't anything that Satan can attach. You know, there are candidates who want to run for office, but there's a problem because there's something in their past that the enemy can get a hold of and bring to your attention. And so they're worried about their past. Well, we don't have a past because God has washed it away. Don't allow something new to come up in our lives. Hallelujah. Making a way of safety and protection for those who remain under the authority of God's word and the authority of God's church. There is nothing better. You can put your head down on a pillow at night and say, okay, God, I know I'm living to the best of my knowledge. No, I'm not perfect. We're not living in a perfect environment, but I'm doing the best that I possibly can. I want to secure my family. Hallelujah. As a pastor, I have the responsibility to approach people who aren't doing right. It's such a pleasant thing to do, you know. Pleasant, pleasant, pleasant. But you also, as parents, if you see something that's going on in your kid's life, you have an obligation to come to them and say, you know what? This does not line up with the word of God, because you're covering them. You're protecting them. You're putting a hedge around them. Train them up in the way they should go, and when they are old, they will not depart from it, because this is a matter of life and death for eternity. Hallelujah. I saw a lot of people weeping this morning at a funeral. Brother Behrens did this thing all by himself, very shy individual. But his wife, his children, none of them wanted anything about what he has espoused. But I said this morning, every one of us will walk through that door if the Lord doesn't come soon. And we have to take the responsibility, is my life right in order to meet him? Now you might say, well, I'm a young person, I have a lot of years left. You don't know that, folks. I got to be ready today. Today. We're living in the end times. Amen. Hallelujah. And we have an obligation to each other in order to help each other. Amen. You, by sitting in the pew where you are right now, is establishing something for somebody else in this congregation. You see, we're a support group for each other. Amen. Some of you who have gone through difficult times, lost loved ones, had sickness, had some financial problems, you are a pillar within the church, because what people see is you went through that and you were still faithful to God. Amen. As an example, right, to living for God. And that's why God has given us a body of believers in order to help each and every one of us get to that place. Amen. We're going to see Jesus, folks. Amen. Amen. Would you stand with me? There's some songs that, they just aren't as, exciting. You know, we like to sing the exciting songs and, you know, catchy rhythms and words. But there's a song that we used to sing all the time. I want to live the way He wants me to live. Amen? Amen? The altar's open. Would you come?
I want to live